Before we get started, we have a quick question. Does your school have a good mentoring program for new teachers? Does it support administrators who run the program, train and support mentors in how to best help new teachers, and support new teachers by answering their questions and helping them to meet their biggest challenges?
We've mentored many new teachers, and we've had lots of conversations with the new teachers crying in their cars after school. That's why we created the New Teacher Navigator. We have everything that your school needs to run a successful mentoring program. It's online and very affordable.
If you or someone in your school or district is interested, check out our program at inspiredtogetherlearning.com or send us an email and we'll follow up. We'd love to help you support the next generation of teachers. The future of education depends on it.
And now we hope you enjoy today's episode.
We live in a society that makes it difficult to focus. Visual and audio stimulation surround us. Think about it. How long can you go without a phone call, text, or a notification on your phone? How long before you're interrupted by someone needing something? We are also plagued with too much to do, not enough time to do it, and the myth that multitasking will help us get it all done.
We need to focus. Today, we're going to talk about things you can do to improve your focus and get more done with fewer distractions.
Welcome to the Inspired Together Teachers podcast.
We're Paula and Michelle, award-winning educators who've worked with thousands of teachers, and we know the struggles that you face on a daily basis.
Do you want to make a difference and still enjoy your life outside of school?
Together, we can tackle the overwhelm, gain clarity, and build confidence to live the life you deserve.
Are you ready to be inspired? We can't wait to explore ways to improve your work life and home life so that you can live your best life.
Distractions practically scream at us. They're saying, "Stop! Pay attention to me!" Distractions are difficult to ignore, so we flit from thing to thing. We switch gears mid-flight, stopping to do one thing to attend to another, sometimes finishing nothing. It is ineffective and it is unproductive to try and work through all of these distractions.
In the past month, I've struggled with too many priorities, too many obligations. I'm working on several different big projects. I'm planning several future trips, helping my daughters through some of their life changes. I'm doing all these things while I'm also trying to teach my classes. Then there's this podcast. The more I have to do, the more I struggle with feeling overwhelmed, which results in my inability to make clear progress on any of my tasks. I hate the feeling of being out of control. I realize that I need to get it together or I'm going to be miserable and my tasks, they're just going to get out of control. Have you ever felt like that, Paula?
Today, yesterday, yes. I feel overwhelmed a lot in communication. That's what kind of gets me to feel overwhelmed and distracted. All the variety of ways that I'm getting bombarded and interrupted by different communication methods. Well-meaning communication. I just want to say that I don't want people to stop texting me or calling me. It's just that it comes from so many directions. In any given day, I can get Facebook messages, text messages, phone calls. I have a parent app from my kid's school that's always blowing up. I have a work email. I have a personal email. We have a family email. I get Teams phone calls, Teams messages. The list goes on and on. You've all got your own things too. When I leave a meeting, I am often floored by how many text messages or emails are on my phone. Or when I'm trying to do a task, the number of times that my phone will ring or my Teams messages will beep, it can be overwhelming. In all honesty, it can completely break the string of creative thoughts I might be having. It is really a detriment to my creativity.
Wallowing and feeling sorry for yourself isn't going to help.
Nope.
Nor is endless scrolling. Have you ever tried that? I've tried that. I'm overwhelmed. So let me pick up my phone and scroll for a while. You can't do 10 things at once or try to move forward by tackling everything in sight, trying to do it all at once. Well, put your records on because it's time to rock and roll.
Here are our suggestions to increase focus, regain energy, and get momentum moving forward again. The first one, which won't be any surprise to any of us, is sleep. It's a lot harder to get things done when you are exhausted.
Trying to do more by sleeping less, which I have done and I know Paula does too. It's like trying to fill a bucket with a hole in the bottom. It isn't going to happen. Sometimes we're overwhelmed by tasks just because we're physically tired. Prioritizing sleep may help. And that's one of the things I am tracking currently on my weekly tracker. I'm tracking my sleep because I'm realizing that I need to get some more of it.
This is really about listening to your body. So many times we are so distracted by all the things going on in life. This is about listening to your body, going to sleep when your body tells you it's tired and waking up when your body's ready to wake up. It's different for everyone. I know that I need less sleep than some people do, but I have to listen to my body because I do not do well with all of the things that come my way if I've not had a good night's sleep.
Our second suggestion is eat that frog. This idea is based on a book by the same name from Brian Tracy. And it's the idea that if you do the most important, most difficult, and biggest tasks the first thing in the morning, the rest of the day gets easier. I have a long morning routine. We've shared our morning routines already. I stopped spending my early morning hours doing email and social media because I found it just sucked up all of my time. Then as I'm more tired later in the day, now I'm working on the projects that I really need to get done and that really help me move forward. So I've learned to do the projects first and then save those emails for later in the day. It's allowed me to use my best creative energy to get the most important things done first. If there's something really important that needs to get done, I like to get it done so I don't have to worry about it all day.
Another really effective method for focusing is to time block. Time block involves building out weekly calendars with time blocks, including time for your projects, time for your phone calls, your emails, family time, game night, or any other routine tasks. Then plan out your prep times, build in your social media time, your relaxation time. When you have blocks on your calendar, it helps you to really see the times for work and the times for play. It's easier to get the hard work done knowing that a break is coming up or that you're going to have time for yourself. It's a nice visual reminder. Time blocking is a strategy that I've talked about on other podcasts, and I thoroughly believe in this. I have to time block for my own peace of mind, and I especially like to time block on the weekends. I feel like weekends can really get sucked away if you don't time block all the things you want to do and then you never get to them. By time blocking them, you can make sure they get done.
I even have to time block things like time with friends so that I make sure that it happens because sometimes those are the things that get left off. I literally block that into my weekend so that I know that it gets done. Another thing that I do in my time blocking is group-like things. When I have to send a bunch of emails or make a bunch of appointments, I just went through a whole thing with my cats and I have all these appointments to make. I like to do them all together. Sit down for a half an hour. I'm like, what are all the appointments I need to make? Or what are all the emails I need to send? And then just check those off instead of mixing them all throughout my day. I like to just group things. Find the things that are the same and see if you can group them together. So if you're in the mind frame, it flows more smoothly.
One of the things that I have recently done, a friend gave me just a small pocket notebook. I put one page for work and one page for home. And as I've been time blocking, I will time block in this small notebook. In this notebook, I have been task blocking. I've been grouping the like things. So even within my home category, phone calls I need to make, like you said, Michelle, errands I need to run, trying to group those like things. So I'm not going to go run an errand, come home, make a phone call, run another errand. I have found it really saves me a lot of time. You are really an expert on grouping like things. You've been doing that for a long time. And I'm finding that I am doing it more. Tackling them as one block like that is pretty magical, actually. Time just appears and my focus gets much better.
Another suggestion we have is to get up and move. Sometimes you just need to allow yourself to get up and move. When your big muscles in your body, like the ones in your thighs, are moving, they're pumping more blood to your heart. More blood circulation means more oxygen's flowing to the brain, and that oxygen can't help but improve your thinking. I've known this for years, but I haven't always used it to my advantage. But I do realize there's a reason I swear I get my best ideas when I'm swimming. That is like my creative energy zone. think about what I'm doing when I'm swimming laps. I'm moving and the brain, you know, is getting all that extra oxygenated blood full of all the great ideas. And then I have to quickly write them all down so I don't forget them. Maybe something you need to do is get up and move, especially if you're stuck and you can't focus. Get up and walk around for a couple of minutes and see if that helps.
You might want to get a standing desk. I have a standing desk at work. I got it during the pandemic. It saved me. It was really helpful when all of those hours being at a computer to have that standing desk. Or you could work at your counter at a counter height table. I like to stand at my counter, full admission here, and swing my legs back and forth while I'm standing at the counter working because it does just give me that blood flow. It gets the moving. And I do it in my time blockings. I will do that, like, okay, I'm going to stand here for 5 minutes. Moving your legs for 5 minutes, swinging them back and forth is actually a long time when you're standing there reading something on your computer. I also will make a 15-minute block of movement that include things like folding my laundry, taking things up and down the stairs. You can definitely put that into your time and task blocking. I will do all of the activities that involve movement together.
That's really interesting because I'm picturing you standing at your counter doing leg raises. I do the same thing when I'm cooking. I'm at my kitchen counter. I usually have my iPad because that's usually where my recipe is, or, you know, if I'm chopping vegetables or something, I'm like stretching. I see it as my stretching because sometimes, especially at the end of the day, I'm like, oh, I want to stretch. So I'm at my kitchen counter doing leg raises while I'm chopping carrots. I didn't know you did that too.
I wonder how many of our listeners do that. Reach out to us. We would love to know. Are we all just in our kitchens doing all of this movement to help us stay focused?
Probably looks a little crazy if you don't know what we're doing.
While we're talking about the kitchen, let's talk about our next strategy for staying focused, which is to stay hydrated. You probably are getting your hydration from your kitchen. When you're dehydrated, it actually impairs your ability to think and focus. This is another one that seems really obvious, but it's easy to ignore our need for water when we get really busy.
I know a lot of teachers are carrying around those big Stanley cups with the straw. So I know a lot of you understand this and really get this. Think about it. We give water to students before they take standardized tests. We want them hydrated. It's a really good strategy. There are also lots of apps that can help you track your water. That's another thing that I'm tracking right now. If you're a visual person or you'd like to compete with yourself and follow your results from day to day or week to week, consider downloading an app. Another idea we have if you want to track things is that in our book, The Inspired Teacher's Journal, a weekly guide to becoming your best self, we have a habit tracker so that every week you can keep track of any goals or habits that you have. And it's just a really nice little box that has lots of places to check and keep track of things.
It's available on Amazon, and we'll put the link in the show notes too, so you can see that. We talked a little bit as we started about all the noises around us, the beeps on our phone, things popping up, trying to really distract our attention. One suggestion we have for you is to kind of flip that and use noise to your advantage to help you focus. Lots of people like to listen to soft music or other sounds in the background as they work. I do that. I like to have soft jazz, although I'm not a super huge fan of jazz. When I'm focusing, something about soft jazz really works for me. And I pull most of my focus music like that from YouTube. Where do you pull yours from, Michelle?
I pull mine from Spotify.
For some people, it's a gentle water sound, or a soft drum beat, or some other ambient noise. For others of us, it might be fast beats, and they really like that to help them focus.
I also set a timer sometimes for the number of minutes I have to work. I just use my watch. That little ding, and it also kind of buzzes on my arm. Say, okay, I'm going to spend 15 minutes on this, and I'll set the timer. Then that little gentle noise, it's not a very loud noise, that I have on my watch, it says, okay, you've worked your 15 minutes. Well, you can stop now. I like that sound.
There are also tasks that aren't so fun, that maybe don't require a lot of your thinking, but they require just some focus with your hands. Maybe it's chopping your vegetables or different things like that.
Unless you're exercising.
Unless you're exercising. You may want to, during those times, play some fun, quick music or listen to a podcast. Michelle and I listen to tons of podcasts that can help you pass the time quickly and really use that noise to your advantage. If you can batch the tasks that you don't like doing so much and play some fun music or listen to an inspirational podcast, maybe you're doing that right now with this podcast, you'll be amazed at how quickly the time can pass and how much less distracted you will be. I know if I'm doing one of those tasks, it's kind of a boring task and I don't like doing it, I can be distracted easily by other things. Oh, I should go switch the laundry. Oh, I should go make my bed. I should go do all of these other things. If I am consumed in a podcast, I'm much likely to stick with that task until it's completed.
I do that as well. Nothing like folding laundry while you're listening to a podcast. Another idea that we have is to actually enjoy some guilt-free downtime. When you have a lot to do, it feels like you should always be doing something. However, if you allow yourself a few hours with a good TV show or a book, you're probably going to have an improved attitude towards your other work. So give yourself the gift of free downtime. I will admit, I've struggled with this. I currently work with a personal coach. Recently, we were talking about how overwhelmed I've been and all the work that I'm doing, that I said, I'm starting to procrastinate. I'm scrolling because I don't even know what to do next. So I'm just holding out my phone and I'm scrolling. I said, why is it that the more I have to do, the more I procrastinate? She actually ordered me to spend a couple of hours doing something I loved. She said, you take a night off and you spend 2 hours and you do something that you love. And I balked at that. I was like, well, I don't really have 2 hours to sit around and watch something. Then she said, well, then if you don't have time to do it for 2 hours, you need to do it for a whole weekend. And she was dead serious and my eyes were wide. It's like, no, I can't be doing that. But I actually took her advice. I finished a book. I got all caught up with Grey's Anatomy. I even spent Sunday afternoon walking around in an antique store, which I love to do. I didn't even buy anything, but I left feeling really relaxed. And Monday morning, I got more done in a few hours than I have gotten done in months. So that advice really worked to take some downtime, enjoy it, and not feel guilty about it.
The final piece of advice that we have for helping to focus is to try the Pomodoro technique. We've talked about this before in other podcasts, and you can adjust the minutes a little bit to work for you. But basically, this is how this works. You set a timer on your phone for 25 minutes. And you work on a task for 25 minutes. Then when that timer goes off, you get up and you move for 5 minutes. Then you start the process over again. When you know you're going to work for 25 minutes like that, you can usually accept that and you focus on that for 25 minutes. Sometimes that's all it takes. You might want to adjust that a little bit. I like to break my hour into 20-minute segments, 20 minutes of sitting and focusing on something, 20 minutes of tasks that are up moving, 20 minutes of free time to do something I like play my New York Times games on my phone or whatever it might be. 20-20-20 tends to work for me. Pomodoro technique is really just about setting that timer, working on it, then having those movement breaks and coming back. It's a really nice combination of several of the strategies that we already talked about. So like if you do that 25 minutes and then your 5 minutes or your 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever is movement, getting up and moving, you could also hydrate then. There's a chance to get your drink and make sure you build that in. Listen to some music, maybe even have a little dance party to get some of that blood flowing through your body. And focus on joy for those minutes so that you are refreshed for the next 25 minutes of tasks and able to just focus.
I also love the Pomodoro technique because it gets me started. Sometimes the hardest part of doing any task for me is just getting going, getting started. So setting that timer for 25 minutes forces me to get started. And usually once I get it started, I'm all in. I get into the middle of it and I start to get engaged with it and the rest flows much more smoothly.
At the end of that 25 minutes is always really productive for me too, because if I'm finishing an email or I'm finishing grading something, I think, oh, I've got to quick hurry up and get this done. The timer's going down. I have 3 minutes left. Where if I didn't have that, I might get really distracted and not focus. But I've got 3 minutes to finish grading this. Let's go. And then I can do it.
It's interesting. There are seasons in our lives when we have heavy workloads or big projects to accomplish. Sometimes it seems like just when we need to focus most, that's when we find that we can't get anything done. It's that overwhelm factor. It takes a more purposeful focus to accomplish things during times of stress, but it is possible to work through a seemingly insurmountable workload, focus, and get things done.
We will end with this quote from New York Times bestselling author Daniel Goleman. He said, "One way to boost our willpower and focus is to manage our distractions instead of letting them manage us."
And now for our recap. We all have times when we struggle to focus, which leads us to procrastination and overwhelm. You can learn to improve your focus with self-care activities, taking time to enjoy something fun, and learning to time block and batch your work. You can take advice from experts and eat that frog, or try techniques such as the Pomodoro technique. There are strategies you can easily adopt to help you improve your focus and get those to-do things crossed off your list.
In true teacher fashion, we always end our podcast with homework. Our homework for you today is to choose one of the strategies for focus that we suggested today, the one that sticks out to you the most right now. Work this into your life. Think about that one that resonated with you and try it today. Let us know how it goes. We always love to hear from our listeners.
And before we sign off today, we just want to talk to you for a second about mentoring. We know that right now many schools are struggling trying to find a good mentoring program for their new teachers.
We just wanted to quickly let you know about our new teacher mentoring program called the New Teacher Navigator. If your school is in search of a good mentoring program, we have exactly what you need. This program is online, it's affordable, and it offers resources for the administrators, you as the mentor teachers, or you as the new teacher. So often people don't have time, they don't have the focus to sit down and figure out what all the resources are. We brought them all together for you. Please reach out to us at inspiredtogetherlearning.com, not our Inspired Together Teachers website, but Inspired Together Learning. Drop us a message and we will do the follow-up work with you or your administrators. That's all for today. Class dismissed. Thanks for listening to today's episode.
If you'd like to continue the conversation, join us on Instagram and Facebook at Inspired Together Teachers, or head over to our website, inspiredtogetherteachers.com, for more podcast episodes, our award-winning blog, and free guides to help you be your best.
Until next time, may you be inspired in your work life and home life to live your best life.